here's a story from The World.
Since the start of the Syrian civil war, the government there has carried out more than 300 chemical attacks inside the country. The immediate results have been devastating, death and lifelong injuries. Now some families and doctors are asking whether the chemical attacks could have led to serious health problems in pregnant women and their babies. The World's Shirin Jafari has been looking into that.
Dalia Khaled Al-Masood remembers the day her neighborhood came under chemical attack. It was the early hours of morning, April 4th,
2017.
We were sitting outside, she says, and suddenly there was a smell. I felt my heart sink. I couldn't breathe. We went inside, Dalia goes on to say, and closed the door. But the smell continued to follow us. What can I tell you, Dalia asks. Just thinking about that day is difficult. The chemical attack happened in Khan Sheikhoun in northwestern Syria, a fact-finding mission set up by the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons found that sarin or sarin-like substance was used. The United Nations found the Syrian government responsible for that attack. The immediate impact on the community was devastating. Local health officials reported at least 89 people were killed and about 500 people injured. Dalia's family survived that day, but she says the exposure to sarin and possibly some other chemicals had a lasting impact on her and especially on her baby. Dalia was a month into her pregnancy, she says. Her husband later said she fainted and was foaming at the mouth during the attack. She had two children already, both healthy, so Dalia knew what a normal pregnancy is like. But this one, she says, felt different. She says the baby's pulse was weak and she wasn't moving much. Doctors confirmed her worst suspicion when they did an ultrasound. The baby's limbs had not fully developed. When Fatima was born, her head was swollen like a balloon, Dalia says. And sure enough, she had no hands or feet. I cried. For 15 days, the baby's eyelids were closed and there was a yellow liquid coming out of her eyes, Dalia tells me. She says it feels like a test from God. Then she breaks down. Fatima is now 4 years old. The swelling of her head has subsided and her eyes are open. But she still requires constant attention. Dalia and her husband say there are no other disabilities or deformities in their families, except for Dalia's sister, who also became pregnant around the time of the chemical attack. Her baby died shortly after birth.
I think there's more cases similar to this.
Hisham Al-Saleh is the manager of the National Syrian Project for Prosthetic Limbs, an NGO in Turkey that was started by a group of Syrian doctors.
Now we have three similar cases. Three at the same time, same age, that means there's more.
Babies from the same area in Syria, whose mothers were pregnant at the time of the chemical attacks and who were born with similar deformities.
Some of them, we don't know, maybe that in the camps in Syria, we have the same situation.
Saleh says it's likely that there are more cases in displacement camps for Syrians. Many babies don't survive, he says, because of the severity of their deformities. Others we might not know about simply because they can't reach centers like his because of the ongoing war.
The uses of chemical weapon in general is prohibited, internationally prohibited. So we are not able to link or to find any scientific data that explain what's going on.
Dr. Salsan Jabri used to teach pulmonary diseases at Damascus University. She says it's difficult to conduct research in Syria. In part, that's because the Syrian government doesn't allow any research that could shed light on its atrocities. Yet in 2014, Jabri herself heard from a Syrian doctor working in an area that came under chemical attack the previous year.
He saw a lot of miscarriages and stillbirths and birth defects among those who are exposed to the chemical attack.
The two doctors teamed up to conduct a small observational study. They found that among 110 pregnant women who had exposure to the chemical attack, 49% experienced miscarriages or stillbirth or delivered babies with some kind of deformity.
Yes, we have immediate effect, which is the massive, you know, death, the massacre that's happened at that day. But still there were some kind of like long-term consequences of the chemical attack.
Other doctors told me similar stories.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Dr. Mohannad Al-Khatib was a dentist in Syria, but when the war began, he volunteered to help out at a field hospital in Ghouta, outside of Damascus. Khatib told me how he personally helped deliver at least 13 babies with severe deformities, all in the span of 1 year after a chemical attack. He says typically doctors would discover problems when they did ultrasounds. In most cases, he says, the babies didn't survive. Khatib shared 3 photos with me that he took himself. They showed newborns with severe birth defects. One had an arm growing out of its neck. Zayed Ali Duaymas is the father of Fatma, the 4-year-old I meet at the clinic in Turkey. He has no doubt that the chemical attack they went through had an impact on his daughter's health. I'm sure not 100%, but 1,000%, he tells me. We've never seen anything like this. Sasan Jabri, who conducted the research, says these testimonies should be a wake-up call for the international community.
I hope there will be more study on the link between the chemical exposure and pregnancy outcome or consequences. There must be more extensive study on that issue.
She says sarin remains in the environment for a long time, so there's a lot to learn about what it might be doing to the health of people exposed to it in Syria. For The World, Shirin Jafari, Reyhanli, Turkey.
From PRX.